This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Templeton, California. Right now we're at Victor Hugo Winery with the owner, Vic Roberts. Hi, Vic.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good. Strange days in paradise, huh?
Yes. We're learning a whole new set of rules.
It's interesting in that your model, little did you know, would serve yourself well in this environment today. Because, as I understand, your model's predicated on a wine club rather than a retail wine tasting establishment.
Yes, that's pretty accurate. We probably do 50% of our business through our wine club. Probably another 35% is through distributors where we ship wine out of state, both in-state and out-of-state. The balance, 10 to 15% max, is retail trade, which for us is all by appointment only. We don't have a tasting room open daily. We're open for the vintner weekends, wine club pickup weekends, and by appointment. So we're probably open 6 or 8 weekends a year.
There are so many nuances to our world today that are changing, things that we didn't have to think about, and now you do. And even the tactile touching of your boxes, getting ready to ship, etc. You know, what sort of changes have you implemented in your daily process?
For us here, we haven't done a lot of changes in our production techniques. Being ag, you know, we were still allowed to finish up agricultural processes such as pruning the vineyard, and wineries are still allowed to do production like racking or topping of barrels or bottling, which we're going to be doing one next week. Mm-hmm. It will be interesting. I know we're all going to be with masks and gloves during the bottling process to protect everyone, both the people working on the bottling line and the operators of the bottling line. So that'll be a little different. But production operations for wineries have not changed dramatically. What has changed is, of course, tasting events, consumer events. Just a couple weekends ago, the whole Paso Robles region canceled Zinfandel Festival weekend. There were a number of events scheduled, both in town, in the park, at restaurants, at wineries, that all had to be canceled. We canceled our event here. We're going to have one of our local vendors, Templeton Hills Beef, who does grass-fed, hormone-free beef, which is fabulous. They were going to be here, and of course we were going to be pouring and tasting new vintage of Zinfandel, etc., and it all came to a halt. So the nice provision is that with proper planning and by appointment, wineries are still allowed to have consumers pick up wine, purchase and pick up wine, or pick up purchases they've already made. But there's
no tasting,
and probably won't be, you know, for, you know, well, I would say as long as we have shelter at home, we won't be doing wine tastings. Mm-hmm. So whatever that timeline is.
And so you have that social distancing, and that's really the deal breaker, isn't it?
Oh, it is, because, you know, wine is definitely something that people want to experience. Part of the experience is literally just come to the winery, look at how the winery does things, interact with winery tasting room staff, winery owners, winemakers, whatever, depending on the size of the operation, and actually being able to physically handle the bottles, you know, read what's on them, taste them. No, that's it is difficult for consumers to discover new wines at this point. So if they aren't familiar with your wines, they probably won't be familiar with them for a few months.
Looking into the future this fall, all of a sudden you're going to be in harvest, and you're going to be having harvest pickers, crews coming through. What's going to change in that process?
You know, at this point, we don't really know. I think California was one of the states was at the forefront of flattening the curve, quote-unquote. The governor, I actually privately thought maybe was overreacting when he put the first 6 counties on shelter-at-home orders, and then, which, of course, quickly followed to reach the entire state. But he was absolutely spot on. He knew what he was doing. And there are some early indications that we are indeed, you know, starting to flatten the curve in California. So if that is the case and it follows the pattern that we seem to be seeing in China, though not sure our information is 100% accurate that we receive from them, but assuming that you have like a two-month ramp up, but you know, a month or 2 months to flatten it off, and then and it starts to decline, we may well be in a, by September when we start to harvest, we may not be sheltered at home.
Nobody knows.
That's my hope. I mean, because we handpicked the entire vineyard. Mm-hmm. I mean, theoretically, you could handpick with sanitary gloves and mm-hmm. face masks. And
could that be?
Yeah, and as long as you, that might be the case. Mm-hmm. That might be the case.
Interesting, as I recall, you're primarily estate-grown grapes. You have 80 acres, I think, that you grow and produce right here.
Yeah, just shy of 80 acres, all estate. We only make wines from the estate.
So that puts you in a different league in control. You know and understand not only the process of growing, but like you alluded to, the controls over harvest.
We've been self-sufficient, 100% estate for about the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. I think either 2004, 2005 was the last time we purchased any grapes. Everything has been grown here for the balance of those vintages. But it, you know, it definitely gives you a level of control. Mm-hmm. But you know, as we've seen, things from outside the area can dramatically change your business model. Whether you're 100% estate or 0% estate, and you have a tasting room, you're in the same position right now. You're not tasting wines.
In the Paso Robles Greater AVA, what do you hear how people are changing the process, the wine growers and the winemakers?
So if you're a vineyard only without a winery, you're in roughly the same position that we are in for our vineyard, where you've been able to maintain all your agricultural operations without any real restrictions yet, even though we are encouraging the crews when they were here, you know, to maintain distancing, but it's not something that was formally implemented. And I would say the other wineries in the region are doing exactly what we're doing as far as production. Mm-hmm. You know, they're continuing to rack barrels, top barrels, put blends together, prepare their bottling.
But inside the winery, they are going to health and safety protocol, right?
Right, right. So there's the wineries that have, you know, again, we utilize a labor contractor for our vineyard, and my wife and I, Leslie, and myself run the winery. So we're fairly unique in that we don't have any winery employees. Mm-hmm. You know, our social distancing is making sure that if a wine club member comes by to pick something up, that we remember to stay a safe distance away, because obviously these are people we've known for quite a while. The inclination is to immediately reach out your hand and shake hands, et cetera, give somebody a hug, and it's like, nope, I need to take a step back here. You know, it's the tasting rooms that, I mean, they've gone from 100% to zero.
How are those who are basically virtual wineries that don't have estate grown, that are their whole model is predicated on that meet and greet social environment in the tasting rooms, which are shuttered?
I think we're all going to feel economic impact from this. You know, even just the fact that Zinfandel Festival weekend, we would have probably expected to have, you know, 7,500 of our wine club members stop by, probably another 50 or 60 people who are new to the winery. So we lost that opportunity for new wine club members, new customers, and everybody is in this exact position. You know, change the numbers, add a zero, drop a zero. But for everyone, it has gone to zero.
And so let's just say you had a tasting room in Paso that was your primary center of economic remuneration. How would you reinvent yourself today?
That's a difficult question. And there are people I know that are going to struggle, just like our local restaurants are struggling right now with the transition to takeout only. You know, I hope everyone is able to weather this, but it would be difficult to have multiple months with very little cash flow. Now, almost everyone that is a virtual winery has a wine club. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a wine club, because okay. That's everybody's business model includes that. So I would guess they're doing what we're doing, marketing, email marketing to the wine club. Mm-hmm. We will probably, in addition to the normal sales that we usually offer the wine club, we'll probably have maybe two or three extra sales, some of them with perhaps inappropriate references to our current situation, but you got to have a little fun. So, you know, we'll probably do some extra sales for the wine club. And that's, we're going to market through the wine club. And I think that's what everybody's doing.
All right. Well, I'm going to check back and check up on you in a couple months and see where we're at.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Good seeing you.
My pleasure. Before we go, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world, you guys have a website, I presume.
VictorHugoWinery.com, you know, www.victorhugowinery.com. Yep. They could actually call us, 805-434-1128. Either way, we're not intimidating. We're not snotty. It's just our model. It's small and by appointment, very intimate tastings when we can do that again.
Very, very cool. Dick Roberts, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Templeton, California at Victor Hugo Winery.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning.